From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, welcome back to the English service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today, we'll bring you more information about Indonesia. You can listen on voanews.id. And now, we would like to begin with the news. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesian Vice President Ma'ruf Amin highlights instrumental role of superior human resources. European Union leaders reach recovery deal after marathon summit. Now the news in details. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin drew importance to the key role of superior human resources in winning the global competition. To this end, improving the quality of human resources become a priority in development programs. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin stated while delivering his remarks at the graduation ceremony of the Open University Academic Year 2019-2020 on Tuesday that Indonesia faces huge challenges in the efforts to boost the capacity of human resources that is the government top priority. Citing the data of the Central Statistics Agency BPS in 2019, the Vice President pointed out that the number of people receiving higher education opportunities were still quite limited. In the face of such condition, Vice President Amin noted that the government had continually endorsed greater access to higher education in Indonesia, including through expanding the presence of the Open University in the region. The Indonesian Ministry of Religious Affairs held Isbat or Determination Session to set the beginning of Dhul Hijjah and Idul Adha 1441 Hijriah. The session determined the Idul Adha 1441 Hijriah date to fall on Friday, July 31, 2020. This decree was delivered by the Minister of Religious Affairs, Fahrul Razi, after leading the Isbat or Determination Session of the first of Dhul Hijjah and Idul Adha 1441 Hijriah, held virtually by the Ministry of Religious Affairs in Jakarta on Tuesday. Minister of Religious Affairs, Fahrul Razi, said in carrying out the Isbat session, the Minister of Religious Affairs always uses two methods, namely hisab and rukyat. Hisab is a mathematical and astronomical calculation to determine the position of the moon in determining the beginning of the month of the Hijri calendar, whereas rukyat is an activity to observe the presence of the new moon or the appearance of the crescent. According to Minister Fahrul Razi, hisab and rukyat are not two different things. In fact, both are complementary methods. The Minister of Religious Affairs added that the determination of the beginning of the month of Dhul Hijjah and Idul Adha 1441 Hijriah was taken after considering the result of the Hisab and Rukyatul Hilal reports. More than 12 observers who had been sworn said they saw the new moon. Rukyatul Hilal confirmed the result of reckoning that the Hilal throughout Indonesia is above the horizon between 6 degrees 51 minutes to 8 degrees 42 minutes.
Oleh karenanya dengan dua hal tersebut di atas yaitu berdasarkan hisab posisi
therefore with the aforementioned two things namely based on hisab or reckoning the hilal position throughout Indonesia is above the horizon and the rukyatul hilal report has also seen the new moon that the session stated that first of Dhul Hijjah of 1441 Hijriah fell on Wednesday July 22 2020 and Idul Adha 10 Dhul Hijjah 1441 Hijriah falls on Friday July 31 2020
tanggal 31 Juli 2020.
Accompanying the Minister of Religious Affairs Fahrul Razi in a press conference were among others Chairman of Commission 8 of the House of Representatives Yandri Susanto and chair of the Indonesian Ulema Council, K. Haji Muhyiddin Junaidi. Similar to the Isbat session of the first Shawwal 1441 Hijriah, this time the session was also held virtually and with due regard to the health protocols. The Indonesian peacekeeping contingent of the United Nations Organization Stabilization Missions in the Democratic Republic of Congo, or DRC, or MUNOSCO, had succeeded in helping to free a United States citizen who was held hostage by an armed bandit group in the African country. Colonel Daniel Lumban Raja, the commander of the Indonesian Military Garuda Contingent B Rapidly Deployable Battalion, or RDB, said the U.S. national identified as Sarah was released after having been held by the bandit group for 16 days in Ake village, some 10 kilometers from DRC's Lulimba. According to Daniel Lumban Raja, the rescue began with the transfer of information from the MSF team to the Lulimba Strategic Combat Deployment Commander Mayor Yoni. Before the operation took place, the Indonesian military members started by planning a negotiation with the bandit group as they feared that Sarah's condition might be half worsened after more than 2 weeks held hostage. The bandit group finally agreed to free Sarah. She was reported to be in stable condition during the time of the release and was immediately admitted to intensive medical examination afterwards. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Now let's move on to the international news. European leaders have struck a deal on a huge post-coronavirus recovery package following a fortnight of talks. It involves 750 billion euros, or equals to $859 billion in grants and loans, to counter the impact of the pandemic in 27 member bloc. Nuka Kusumawati has the details.
The actual size of the package, in terms of the scale of the package, and the balance within the package.
The talks saw a split between nations hardest hit by the virus and so-called frugal members concerned about cost. The deal centers on €390 billion program of grant to member states hardest hit by the pandemic. Italy and Spain are expected to be the main recipients. At the press conference held on Tuesday in the European Union headquarters, Brussels, Belgium, the European Council President Charles Michel said that the agreement is a pivotal moment for the European Union in handling the economical crisis caused by the pandemic.
I believe this agreement will be seen as a pivotal moment in Europe's journey, but it will also launch us into the future. In fact, it's the first time in European history that our budget will be clearly linked to our climate objectives. The first time that the respect for rule of law is a decisive criteria for budget spending. And the first time that we are jointly reinforcing our economies against a crisis.
A further €350 billion in low-interest loans will be available to members of the bloc. On the same event, European Union President Ursula von der Leyen said the Europe will manage €1.8 trillion budget to recover economy.
The new budget will power the European Green Deal. It will accelerate the digitalization of Europe's economy. Thanks to Next Generation EU, national reforms will be boosted. We invest in Europe's future. And finally, unlike in previous crises, this time, member states have not opted for an intergovernmental agreement, but they have entrusted the European Commission of Europe's recovery. We will together manage a total of €1.8 trillion. The bulk of the money will be channeled through the programs in which the European Parliament is involved.
The package will allow members to maintain spending in the aftermath of lockdowns that badly affected public finances. It includes checks that the funds will not be misused. Recipients will have to submit spending plans to the European Commission, and a majority of states will be able to block the projects. The leaders reached agreement early on Tuesday after more than 90 hours of talks. The European Commission will borrow €750 billion on international market and distribute the aid. The deal was reached alongside agreement on the bloc's next 7 years budget, worth about €1.8 trillion. The UK, which has recorded more coronavirus deaths than any other European country, left the European Union in January and is not involved in the deal. South Korea's first ever military communications satellite has been successfully launched by private operator SpaceX, Seoul said Tuesday, as it looks to build up its defense capabilities. Seoul's Defense Acquisition Program Administration, DAPA, said in a statement that a Falcon 9 rocket carrying the satellite blasted off from Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in Florida. SpaceX confirmed the satellite deployed about 32 minutes after liftoff on Monday afternoon local time. Seoul Defense Acquisition Program Administration, DAPA, said the launch made South Korea the 10th country in the world to own a military-only communications satellite, which will provide permanent and secured military communication. According to the statement, the satellite is expected to reach its orbit of 36,000 kilometers in 2 weeks, and South Korea's military will take over the system in October after testing. Passengers of China-bound flights must provide negative COVID-19 test results before boarding, China's aviation authority said on Tuesday, as the government looks to further reduce the risk of imported coronavirus cases amid increased international travel. The Civil Aviation Administration of China, CAAC, said on its website that nucleic acid tests must be completed within 5 days of embarkation. The tests should be conducted at facilities designated or recognized by Chinese embassies in host countries. The embassies will carefully assess the testing capacity of host countries and formulate travel procedures when testing conditions are met. The announcement comes as countries struggle with testing capacity and speed. In parts of the United States, receipt of test results can take up to 2 weeks, while in some other countries, nucleic acid tests are reserved for people who have come in close contact with COVID-19 patients or who have symptoms of the potentially fatal disease. Oman will ban travel between all its governorates from July 25th to August 8, a period that includes a Muslim holiday, to prevent the spread of the new coronavirus, state news agency ONA said on Tuesday. A statement from the health ministry described the measures as a total lockdown of all governorates. The Gulf states will also implement a daily curfew from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. during the period, which includes the Muslim Eid al-Adha holiday period. Shops and public spaces will be closed during the hours of curfew. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary for today entitling European Union Commitments Anticipate the Impact of COVID-19. After going through 4 days of discussion and argumentation, the European leaders finally reached an important agreement to overcome the impact of COVID-19 pandemic. The European Union summit, which ended on Tuesday, July 21st, agreed to raise around 2 trillion euros to deal with the problem. Although it was hampered by Hungary and Poland, European Council President Charles Michel said the summit was a success. The 4-day marathon discussion finally succeeded in providing new hope for handling the COVID-19 impact. French President Emmanuel Macron even said that the result of the summit this time was a historic moment for the European Union. Funds of around 2 trillion euros, which were agreed by the European Union leaders, will be channeled in the forms of grants and loans for European Union members who need it due to significant impacts from the COVID-19 pandemic. However, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen had expressed disappointment because of budget cuts for research and innovation. The commitment and agreement of European Union leaders is noteworthy as a joint success in dealing with COVID-19 and its impact. Leaders have used the organization they formed to discuss urgent and important issues related to the COVID-19 pandemic. The provisions of the summit should serve as example for other regional organizations in viewing and resolving the problem, which has hit almost every country in the world. For organizations outside the European Union, different views and commitments are often obstacles for reaching agreements. The European Union is fortunate because none of its member states are involved in conflicts, let alone civil war, as is the case in other regions of the world. The economic condition of the main buffer countries of the European Union, such as Germany and France, are quite capable of contributing to the realization of funding commitments and joint efforts. COVID-19 in number of European Union countries is believed to have begun subsiding. However, anticipating the impact in the future, especially in the economic field, must indeed be considered as the European Union leaders did. That was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Welcome back to our regular Today in History. We start from a history on July 22, 1917, was birthday of Adam Malik. Adam Malik is the third Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia and has served as the Minister of Foreign Affairs. His career began as a journalist and national movement figure. When he was young, he had actively participated in national movements to fight for Indonesian independence, including the establishment of the Antara News Agency. Adam Malik, who was born in Pematang Siantar, North Sumatra, on Thursday, July 22, 1917, was named as one of Indonesia's national heroes on November 6, 1998. We move to a history which occurred on July 22, 1933, where a U.S. pilot flies around the world. Willie Hardeman Post was a United States pilot known as the first human to fly alone around the world. He used an automatic pilot and compass, replacing his navigator, and became the first person to finish traveling the world alone. He departed from Floyd Bennett Field and continued to Berlin, where he made repairs to his autopilot. 50,000 people welcomed him on his return on July 22 after 7 days, 18 hours, 49 minutes flying around the world. We end with a history on July 22, 2014, the General Election Commission decided the winner of the presidential election. The General Election Commission KPU determined the pair Joko Widodo and Muhammad Yusuf Kalla as president and vice president elected at the 2014 Indonesian presidential election. The decision was announced on July 22, 2014. Joko Widodo and Yusuf Kalla were installed on October 20 in the same year. That was Today in History.
Adakah engkau mendengar lagu rindu yang kutulis untukmu? Betapa jarak waktu memaksa kita memaknai sebuah kata rindu. Adakah engkau mendengar doa-doaku di ruang batinmu? Menjaga semua janji ini. Doakan aku cepat kembali. Kan ku bawa sebentuk hati yang penuh dengan cinta hanya untuk dirimu. pada pemilik jiwa, karena ku yakin dia akan menjaga asa yang aku tinggalkan pada lingkar janji kehormatanmu. Oh, karena aku akan bertahan untukmu, menjaga semua janji ini. Doakan aku cepat kembali, kan ku bawa sebentuk hati yang penuh dengan cinta hanya untuk dirimu. Karena aku akan bertahan untukmu, menjaga semua janji ini. Doakan aku cepat kembali, kan ku bawa sebentuk hati yang penuh dengan cinta hanya untuk dirimu. Bila kau menunggu,
you are still with us, English Service from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Next information about Indonesia will be in My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is titled G20 Agrees Cooperation in Protecting Lives and Jobs During Pandemic. G20 member countries agreed to increase cooperation and continue the implementation of fiscal, monetary, and financial sector policies amid COVID-19 pandemic. Executive Director of Bank Indonesia's Communication Department, Ondi Wijenarko, said cooperation increase was aimed to protect lives and jobs, to support people whose income decreasing, and to increase financial system resilience. This measure was a response towards COVID-19 pandemic. In a press release about the virtual meeting result of the financial ministers and central bank governors of G20 countries released on Monday, July the 20th, Ondi Wijenarko explained the cooperation increase was done to overcome the virus spread and strengthen policy response for strong, sustainable, balanced, and inclusive global economic recovery. In the meeting on July the 18th, 2020, Indonesia was represented by Finance Minister Sri Mulyani Indrawati and Bank Indonesia Deputy Governor Dodi Budi Waluyo. In the meeting, Bank Indonesia affirmed the key role of international financial institutions in supporting the effort to increase economic resilience and global financial system stability. Ondi Wijenarko said Bank Indonesia with the government institutions and related agencies will keep strengthening coordination and synergy in keeping the stability of macroeconomy and financial system, as well as accelerating Indonesia's economic recovery from COVID-19 pandemic. In the G20 meeting, International Monetary Fund said that COVID-19 pandemic is predicted to have greater scale and longer duration than previously forecasted. Such a condition caused contraction in the global economy in 2020. Economic indicator improvement from economic reopening and monetary and fiscal stimulus policy support in various countries are relatively low. With such development, the global economy is predicted to regrow positively in 2021. According to IMF, until a medical solution against COVID-19 is found, G20 cooperation strengthening is crucial to prevent worse negative impact in the global economy. G20 finance ministers and central bank governors also agreed the importance of broadening access of economy, education, and job for women, youth, as well as micro, small, medium enterprises, the use of technology in infrastructure development or infratech, and financial sector resilience strengthening to realize strong, sustainable, balanced, and inclusive global economic recovery. The forum also agreed to continue payment relief of debt service suspension initiative for poor countries hit by COVID-19, as well as a firm commitment to reach the global consensus on taxation in the digital economy by the end of 2020. And listener, that was My Indonesia. From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Kau terima apa adanya.
Thank you very much if you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next, we'll bring you to have a glimpse about Indonesia, our tourism, or our local wisdom. Next one, Indonesian Wonder.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, I'm going to let you know about Tanjung Layar Beach. Tanjung Layar Beach is a tourism object in Sawarna Tourism Village, Bayah, Lebak Regency, Banten Province. The name of the beach comes from two giant rocks which have a shape like a sailing ship. At the east of the beach, there is a coral group like left footprint whose size is 2 times 1 meter. Its name is Jejak Kaki Kabayan, or in English, it means Kabayan footprint. People say the footprints of his brother are in Jampang, Sukabumi. Currently, Tanjung Layar Beach and other beaches at Sawarna Tourism Village are managed by Bumdes Sawarna. In the era of Dutch Indies, the bay was known with the name Java's Eerste Punt, or in English, it means the first end of Java Island. History of the beach is told in Sundanese chronicle and legend or fairy tales of the south coast. According to the history, the giant rocks at Tanjung Layar area were incarnation of two powers which would become Sangkuriang ship to sail across the Southern Ocean when going to get married with his mother Dayang Sumbi. But Sang Hyang Widi of God Almighty did not allow the will of Sangkuriang. Because of that, he raged and the ship was kicked to the north, becoming Mount Tangkuban Parahu. Meanwhile, the big sails which were thrown away to the south of Java Island became rocks that are sturdy and rigid at the southern beach of Banten Province. Actually, the twin rocks occurred because of a natural phenomenon which happened 100 years ago. Besides beach, Tanjung Layar area also has thousands of caves which stretch along Pelabuhan Ratu until Bayah and Malimping. Over there is also a natural sea basin which contains of various kinds of marine animals that usually occupy the coral reefs. You cannot swim at Tanjung Layar Beach, but the beach is a heaven for those photography lovers. It is because the beach has many beautiful spots as photography objects. Tanjung Layar is also mentioned as a hidden heaven at the southern coast of Java Island by tourists. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder featuring Tanjung Layar Beach. Tomorrow we'll meet again with another interesting topic. Bye bye.
Jelas di matamu, tak bisa kau mengerti aku. Ada banyak wajah cerita, kau bisa pilih semaumu. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri. Yang mendengar hanya kupingku yang merasa. Hanyalah kedua tangan ini yang mengerti. Hanya hatiku, hanya hatiku. Oh, oh, hanya hatiku. Mati satu tumbuh seribu. Kata-katamu seperti debu. Ada banyak wajah cerita. Ku kan memilih yang ku mau. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri. Yang mendengar hanya kupingku. Yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini. Yang mengerti hanya hatiku. Gelas penuhmu, oh, oh, takkan terisi. Yang melihat hanyalah mataku sendiri. Yang mendengar hanya kupingku. Yang merasa hanyalah kedua tangan ini. Ia mengerti hanya hatiku, hanya hatiku.
Bicaralah
oh, oh,
yang kau mau.
Hanya hatiku
ini hidup.
Oh, oh.
Bicaralah yang kau mau. Ini hidupku.
Bicaralah yang kau mau. Ini hidupmu.
If you're still thirsty for more information about Indonesia, the next one will be the interesting information about Indonesia in
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and tips on how to use it in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture. Today's topic is Ayo Makan di Kantin. In English, let's eat at kantin. Listen to this conversation about Ayo Makan di Kantin, which means let's eat at kantin. Siti invites Kevin to eat at kantin. Siti also tells Kevin that he can take the foods by himself.
Ayo, kita pergi ke kantin.
Ayo, menunya apa?
Ada banyak, Kevin. Kita bisa ambil sendiri makanan itu.
Now I'm going to introduce some vocabularies and expressions related to the topic today. I will say each word. Slowly and twice, you can follow after me. Ayo kita pergi ke kantin. Ayo kita pergi ke kantin. Or, mari kita ke kantin. Which means, let's go to kantin. Makan siang. Makan siang, which means lunch. Makan malam. Makan malam, which means dinner. Kantin. Kantin, which means kantin. Makanan. Makanan, which means food. Meal time is the time to socialize. It is used to gather and talk. To offer invitations to eat together, you can use sentences, Ayo kita pergi ke restoran, or mari kita makan ke restoran, which means let's go to restaurant. To respond the invitation, you can repeat the expression, for example, ayo kita pergi ke kantin. Ayo kita pergi ke kantin. And you can repeat ayo. There are two kinds of invitations in Indonesian language, namely formal and informal invitations. The formal invitation is used to invite older people, new people, and respected people. For the formal invitation, you can use the word mari, in English, let's. While the informal invitation is used to greet people who are already familiar, friends, or younger people. In the informal invitation, you can use the word ayo or come on. Listener, before we end today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Ayo, kita pergi ke kantin.
Ayo, menunya apa?
Ada banyak, Kevin. Kita bisa ambil sendiri makanan itu.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Hopefully, this edition will be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Ketika ku mendengar bahwa kini kau tak lagi dengannya, dalam benakku timbul tanya, masihkah ada dia di hatimu bertahta, atau ini saat bagiku untuk singgah di hatimu? Siapkah kau tuh jatuh cinta lagi? Meski bibir ini tak berkata, bukan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda di antara kita. Dan tak mungkin ku melewatkanmu hanya karena ku tak mampu untuk bicara bahwa aku inginkan kau ada di hidupku.
Kini ku tak lagi dengannya, sudah tak ada lagi rasa antara aku untuk jatuh cinta lagi. Meski bibir ini tak berkata, bukan berarti ku tak merasa ada yang berbeda di antara kita. Dan tak mungkin ku melewatkanmu hanya karena diriku tak mampu untuk bicara bahwa aku inginkan kau ada di hidupku.
Fikirlah saja dulu, hingga tiada ragu, agar manusia
bahwa aku inginkan kau ada.
Inginkan kau ada
di hidupku. Bila kau jatuh cinta, katakanlah.
Besides information, we are providing you also with some good music to lift up your day. And anyway, we get more for you. Stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Now we present a song from West Java titled Mawar Bodas. The song Mawar Bodas, which means white roses, was composed by Uko Hendarto. The lyrics of the song tells a story of someone who goes to other towns to meet his beloved girl, who likened to a white rose. All obstacles he does not care, as long as he can meet with the lover. But he is disappointed. It turns out the lover already has another man. The song Mawar Bodas was sung by many singers, but the song was firstly popular by Dety Kurnia. So let's listen to the song Mawar Bodas by Dety Kurnia. Enjoy the song.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well then, listener, it's time for us to not to say goodbye, but we're inviting you to stay tuned with us. Anyway, please send your criticism, suggestion, or question to our email voi@vonnews.id, voi@vonnews.id, or our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia. And listener, more information about Indonesia is coming up shortly. So stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.